Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 79 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Arlo Barnett.
Applicants had to have something to do with one of those five sectors that we have seen a lot of growth in: manufacturing, healthcare, technology, transportation, and construction trades.
Kim Brannick is talking about applicants for the Work Ready Skills Initiative, which has awarded roughly $33.1 million to high-level workforce training programs around the state. A West Virginia group is pushing to designate and protect old-growth forests in three out of every four counties nationwide, and the Round County Board of Education is giving all district employees a 1% raise. In sports, the Cincinnati Reds are looking to turn things around as they begin their series with the Colorado Rockies tonight. Bud Luke has the Stocks, a 50% chance of thunderstorms tonight, lows in the mid-60s, a full check of that forecast after this news. Five people are lodged in the Scioto County Jail after a drug raid in Portsmouth. WSAZ reports deputies with the Scioto County Sheriff's Office, Portsmouth Police, and Southern Ohio Drug Task Force officers searched a home on 3rd Street on Wednesday. Inside, they found nearly 13 grams of crack cocaine and other evidence related to drug trafficking. Roger Jones, Anthony Lewis, and April Blair, all of Portsmouth, were charged with drug possession. Eric Henderson and Dustin Payne of Columbus are also facing possession charges. The suspects were arraigned on those charges yesterday. Kentucky State Police troopers say a Boyd County woman is charged with criminal mischief and arson after she vandalized multiple cars, including her own, in an upscale Bellefonte neighborhood. According to WSAZ, troopers say Deborah Miller sprayed several cars along Princess Drive and Bellefonte Princess Road with blue spray paint, dumped white paint on other cars, and set fire to her own vehicle. Michael Crawford had two of his family's cars vandalized.
Not giving the druggies credit for anything, but at least they're trying to break in and steal for something. To just vandalize is a waste of everybody's time and money, of course. So I'm not sure what their next step up in life is going to be. I think it involves bars.
Miller has offered no reason for the crime spree. Crawford says he and his neighbors were able to get most of the paint removed with wax, soap, and water. Thanks to a quick-thinking driver, Madison County students aboard a burning bus were evacuated safely, so says Assistant Superintendent Randy Neely. The bus caught fire yesterday afternoon on the Lexington Road overpass above I-75. It was carrying students from B. Michael Cottle Middle School and Madison Central High School. Neely says the driver stopped the vehicle at the first sign of smoke.
You never know how people's going to react in a tough situation, and she reacted as well as could ever be imagined.
The fire caused extensive damage. Officials say they believed it started in the engine. 15 institutions around the state will be getting money from Frankfort to educate and train Kentucky workers in the second round of funding from the Work Ready Skills Initiative. Spokeswoman Kim Brannick says the initiative's advisory committee chose from a competitive pool of proposals to equip Kentuckians with the skills for the top five industry sectors: manufacturing, healthcare, technology, transportation, and construction. One of the lucky winners is the Estill County Board of Education, which is slated to get $5,700,000.
That was to construct the Estill County Regional Workforce Center for Training and Education, and that's a state-of-the-art training facility. The proposal was that there will be 756 students and 232 adults trained there annually, and that would be specifically for things like advanced manufacturing jobs.
Johnson County Schools will also be getting over $1,700,000 for renovation and expansion of their high school and investments in technology equipment. This round of awards totals approximately $33.1 million. Earlier this year, the committee awarded more than $65.5 million to 25 programs. The bond money additionally leverages matching funds that more than double the total funding. The Rowan County Board of Education voted Tuesday to approve a 1% raise for all district employees. The boost in salary will cost the district $150,000. Superintendent Marvin Moore says it's something they hope to do every year.
Over the past 5-6 years, we've made some tough decisions when it comes to the budget. And, of course, 80% of our budget is in personnel. Some of the decisions we made over the last 5 or 6 years have paid off.
Moore says the board is currently above its goal of a 2% contingency, and he believes their budget is in decent shape. The budget is approximately $35 million for the 2017-18 fiscal year. The $1 million project to install artificial turf on the football field at Rowan County Senior High School is advancing right on time. That word comes from Ray Ginter, who's the school's principal.
They've started packing in some clay and gravel and the base that it needs, and it looks like, being on schedule, that they will start putting the carpet down probably in 2 to 3 weeks. And then once they get that finished, then they'll begin resurfacing the track. So they're doing a great job.
The goal is to have the new turf in place by August 1st. Not only will Rowan's football team be using the surface, but also its soccer and other athletic teams, along with its band. The field will be made available for community events when it's not being utilized for school events. The Rowan County Arts Center has done a good job of becoming more financially self-sufficient. That word comes from Director Ash Gillum. Gillum says the facility has worked hard during her 3-year tenure to answer the county fiscal court's mandate to cover more than the cost of its expenses. She notes the Arts Center is now hosting all kinds of different events, such as theater performances, art, dance, and exercise classes, along with wedding receptions and anniversary celebrations, among other things.
You know, we try to make sure that everyone has a great time, and we've also had the events like scheduled for next year, these yearly events. So, like, we want to come back. Can we go ahead and get on your calendar for next year? And I'm like, sure. So it's been a great boost, and we're really excited about what's happening and how people are really embracing the arts in the community.
While the Arts Center pays Rowan County $1,000 a month in rent, the county pays for the building's utilities and its maintenance. The center also receives $8,000 in annual funding from the city of Moorhead. Rowan Judge Executive Walter Blevins doesn't believe the county's new detention center will have any trouble filling its cells when it opens. Because of severe overcrowding problems in the state's prisons and other county jails, Blevins thinks Rowan's new lockup could be at or near its 275-bed capacity when it becomes ready for use in January.
We could be. It would be nice to be there. Of course, we'll have to hire a few more people and try to get this place up to where we got everybody trained and how everything works. It's going to be a new facility, basically new electronics, new video surveillance of prisoners, and it'll take a little time to teach our staff.
Construction continues on Rowan County's new $18 million detention center at its site on U.S. 60, just east of downtown Moorhead. Judge Executive Mike Malone has discussed plans to overhaul the laws governing Carter County's trash pickup. MSPR's Kyle Blankenbuehler reports.
According to the Grayson Journal-Inquirer, each local government in Carter County handles trash pickups in their areas differently. But there is currently no mechanism available to the fiscal court to mandate trash pickup outside of the cities of Grayson and Olive Hill. Several magistrates have noted the inconsistency of service among providers and says some haulers are prone to overfilling their trucks, leaving bags of trash in the county's roads and ditches. The court is looking for ways to mandate that everyone pays for and receives trash services. The fiscal court is considering drawing up pickup districts and soliciting bids from trash haulers. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
Kentucky officials say the state's unemployment rate rose slightly in April. The Office of Employment and Training says last month's preliminary seasonally adjusted rate was 5.1%, up from 5%, the statewide rate, in March 2017. The statewide rate in April of last year was also 5%. Officials say the state's leisure and hospitality sector had the largest month-to-month increase last month, growing by 1,600 jobs. The construction, education, and health services sectors each added 1,500 jobs last month. Manufacturing declined by 2,900 jobs since March 2017, but officials say the manufacturing sector is up by 4,200 jobs since April of last year. The trade, transportation, and utilities sectors decreased by 1,300 jobs from March to April of this year. Government employment declined by 500 jobs. Kentucky's already struggling pension system has slipped further into the red. As Josh James reports, the Kentucky retirement system's official debt has grown by several billion dollars.
The KRS board downgraded its assumptions about investment returns, state government payroll growth, and inflation going forward, bumping the estimated unfunded liability up by $3 to $4 billion. According to the Lexington Herald Leader, that means the state's largest pension fund now has just 13.8% of the money required to pay out benefits. Governor Matt Bevin has been sounding the alarm on pensions since his campaign days. Last week, he warned Kentuckians this is not a drill.
Our pension systems are nearly out of money. It's important for people to understand this isn't just like a potential or a hypothetical. There literally will be no checks going to retirees in a very short number of years, within the lifetime of all those that are working now and many of those that have already retired.
Despite commitments by the General Assembly to pour billions into the funds in the coming years, KRS Board Chair John Ferris says the state's contribution will need to be an order of magnitude higher in 2018. Bevin is laying the groundwork for a special session later this year to deal with pension and tax reform. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
With nearly one in four Kentuckians age 65 and older living with diabetes, some organizations are spreading a message of get fit, don't sit during Older Americans Month in May. The American Diabetes Association and Passport Health Plan are providing seniors in Kentucky with information about how they can live the healthiest lives possible. Health educator with Passport Health Plan Lisa Bellafato says exercise is a key diabetes prevention tool, and any additional movement that can be incorporated into daily life is beneficial.
For example, if you are with a group of people and you're having a meeting, you get up and do like a walking meeting, or just that you're standing for part of the time. Or if you are going to the grocery store, can you park a little further away and walk a little bit more?
She says regular physical activity can help people lose weight and lower blood sugar, which can help prevent diabetes or delay its onset. Kentucky has the 12th highest diabetes mortality rate in the country. A Mount Olivet native has been named the chief resident of neurology at the Mayo Clinic. MSPR's Jacob Lindeberg reports.
According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, Derek Stitt has been recognized for excellence in medicine for years now. He graduated from the University of Kentucky with a biology degree in 2010 and the UK Medical School with a focus in neurology in 2014. Stitt is now a neurologist at St. Joseph's Hospital in Lexington. He entered the residency program at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota in 2014. As he starts his fourth year at the clinic in July, he has been named the chief resident of neurology at the prestigious research group. Stitt says he would like to eventually work in an academic hospital setting, where he could educate new doctors, treat patients, and do research. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
The cities of Erlanger and Union are conducting public awareness campaigns this weekend to take on Kentucky's opioid crisis. The Cincinnati Enquirer reports Erlanger will hold a door-to-door drive on Sunday to distribute nearly 10,000 informational door hangers. The city has teamed up with Kenton County, the Northern Kentucky Office of Drug Control Policy, Planning Development Services, and the Northern Kentucky Health Department on a campaign focusing on the heroin crisis. Union's campaign will be much the same on this Saturday and Sunday, a door-to-door drive to distribute informational flyers on opioid abuse and resources. A week after announcing they are done with Louisville, Kentucky One Health's CEO says she's stepping down. KNN's Will Clark reports.
President and CEO Ruth Brinkley says she'll leave the post she's held since 2012 on July 14th. The role will be filled on an interim basis by Chuck Newman, who's the current interim president of University of Louisville Hospital. Brinkley will remain with the company in an advisory role until mid-September to aid in the transition. The announcement comes a month after the company shed 250 jobs and a week after Kentucky One announced a restructuring that involves selling off Louisville's Jewish hospital. I'm Will Clark.
A group that wants to preserve more of the nation's original forest land is on a mission to get at least one old-growth forest designated in every county that contains forested land, which would mean about three out of four counties nationwide. The West Virginia News Service's Chris Thomas has more.
The Old Growth Forest Network says 95% of the nation's original forest land has been removed or altered, and forests in West Virginia are no exception. Vivian Stockman with the Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition says it's important to preserve the remaining forest land for future generations to enjoy, but also for its ecological benefits to the environment.
Forests certainly have incredible value in terms of flood control, air purification, water purification. Types of services that full-grown forests can offer are valuable not just to our human souls, but to our economic bottom line.
Stockman says many West Virginia forests fell to development years ago, and those that remain continue to be fragmented by mountaintop removal mining and fracking-related activity. I'm Chris Thomas reporting.
Turning to a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region, tonight we'll see a 50% chance of scattered thunderstorms, lows around 66 degrees. Tomorrow, scattered showers and thunderstorms, another 50% chance of rain, highs around 87 degrees. Tomorrow night, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, lows around 68. And on Sunday, at the end of our weekend, an 80% chance of thunderstorms, highs around 76 degrees. It is currently 79 degrees here in Moorhead. The time is 4:46. You're listening to Mountain Edition here on Moorhead State Public Radio. On today's feature segment, commentator John Modaff says people will laugh at almost anything, but he wonders why they don't joke around so much when it comes to nuclear bombs.
Have you ever wondered why there aren't any comics doing material about nuclear war? Is it because there's nothing funny about it? Well, that can't be. People can make fun of anything. People make jokes about religion, cancer, funerals, formal dress, being married, driving, golf, global warming, and plaid pants. Nothing is sacred. And if you're Catholic, well, you might as well have a sign on your back, because no religion has had the comics working overtime like the Roman one. So all of this mirth over otherwise serious subjects raises the question, why no nuclear comics? Give it a minute, I bet you can come up with a few things that are funny about nuclear bombs and nuclear war. The Trident II accident in Arkansas in 1980, the accidental dropping of two nuclear bombs in North Carolina, and hundreds of other accidents remind us of the human folly that plans for perfection and luck. Our national defense industry has produced well over 20,000 devastating nuclear weapons, and get this, everything will be fine as long as no one makes a mistake. And of course, every single one of them is secure and accounted for, we hope. That's just us. Total up what other nations have produced and consider a lot of these weapons are still active, and we've got a great situation because we've got maximum deterrence and not a whit of a chance that anyone will make a mistake or have hard feelings. Tell me, what evidence is there that any nation would actually use a nuclear weapon? Despite our rather blunt example in the 1940s, when as far as we knew we were the only ones packing, under today's conditions, it would mean suicide. And suicide's not a problem, is it? Only in silly films like Dr. Strangelove or Failsafe, or even more inane, War Games, does everything work out okay for the most part. Many a decade has passed since a serious film was made treating the aftermath of nuclear attack. The last one to face it squarely was 1983's Testament. But I suppose that's okay, since Netflix tends to show a lot of 80s movies. You know what's funnier than the nuclear attack drills of the 1960s, when kids hid under their desks and passed notes to rehearse surviving the blast? Not doing that. Going under the desk might not save a lot of people, but at least it's something to do. Hey, you crazy? I'm John Modaff.
When he's not blowing up the airwaves at MSPR, commentator John Modaff works as a professor of speech at Moorhead State University. The time is 4:49. You're listening to Mountain Edition. Coming up next, it's a check of sports after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Located at 325 Triplett Street near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for a variety of recyclables, including cardboard, aluminum and steel cans, one and two numbered plastics, books, newspaper, magazines, mixed and shredded paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership of the City of Moorhead, Rowan County, and Moorhead State University. More information at 784-1250.
Looking to right the ship. Good afternoon. This is MSPR Sports. I'm Sean Delaney. The Cincinnati Reds are looking to get things back on track with a fresh series against the Colorado Rockies at Great American Ballpark. 26-year-old right-hander Luis Alvarado Bonilla is towing the rubber for the Reds. He'll face off against Rockies greenhorn Tyler Anderson. The 19 and 21 Reds have 7 losses in their last 10 games. According to veteran shortstop Zach Cozart, that's because the team has been struggling on the defensive side.
When you do that, you know, they take advantage of it, and it's tough. So, but, yeah, you know, we're out there battling. There's no excuses with us. We just got to play better.
The Reds will have their chance to right their ship against the 26-16 Rockies at 7 tonight. There's one afternoon game right now. At last check, the Brewers are up on the Cubs 4-3. They're delayed at the top of the sixth. Taking a look at other MLB news, the Braves say first baseman Freddie Freeman will miss the next 2 months because of a fractured left wrist. Toronto outfielder Kevin Pillar has been suspended without pay for 2 games after yelling a homophobic slur at Atlanta pitcher Jason Mote the other night. Pillar has apologized. And Chicago police are investigating the death of a 42-year-old man who fell over a railing as he was leaving Tuesday night's Cubs-Reds game at Wrigley Field. The Moorhead State baseball team visits OVC leading Tennessee Tech again tonight in Cookeville. The Eagles last night clinched the second seed in next week's conference tournament with a 4-1 triumph over Tech. MSU coach Mike McGuire now wants his ball club to add to that success against the Golden Eagles.
You know, the way the tournament's set up and the bracket's set up, it is advantageous the better your seed is, especially if you can be the first or second seed in that tournament. And, you know, right now we're in second place and want to further distance ourselves from the rest of the pack in the league.
The OVC tournament is next week in Oxford, Alabama. Greenup County will begin its bid for a third straight 16th Region Baseball Championship Monday when the Musketeers open 63rd District play against Raceland at Russell High School. After ending last season at 39-2 with a loss to eventual state champ St. Xavier in round one of the Sweet 16, Coach Greg Logan's 26-8 Muskies hope to make another deep postseason run.
We played some pretty good baseball at times, and at times we haven't really played our best, and that's how we got some losses here, but we knew it would be a challenge going into it with replacing the guys that we'd lost.
Greenup remains the top-rated team in the 16th region this year. The 61st District Baseball Tournament is set to open Monday night in Frenchburg. Rowan County is poised to begin things with host Menifee County. Coach Keith Prater says it's been an up-and-down ride for his 20-14 Vikings this season, but calls their hitting jobs the team's strength.
We're hitting over 350 right now as a team, and it's not great, but it's not bad. We've been so inconsistent defensively that I can't necessarily say that. Our pitching staff's done a great job for us and given us a lot of opportunity to win a ball game. But I would say probably our hitting. We've come up in situations that we need to get a hit, and we've been able to do that.
In Monday's other 61st District baseball game, Fleming County will face off with Bath County. The draw for the 61st District Fast Pitch Softball Tournament will be held tomorrow. The event starts Monday. Visiting the district's top team tonight, Fleming County, Rowan County coach Larry Sloan is hopeful his 19-9 Lady Vikings are primed to make some postseason noise.
We lost a starting pitcher before the season started to an ACL injury, and two pitchers that have pitched for us have really come in and done a great job. We were expecting to have a winning season, and we have continued that. And so I've been very pleased with our progress.
Rowan will likely be the district's third seed behind Fleming and Bath County, who the Lady Vikes appear poised to meet in round one of the tourney. Taking a look at the basketball world, The Cleveland Cavaliers try for a 13th straight playoff win when they take on the Celtics tonight in Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals in Boston. Despite Cleveland's dominating performance in Wednesday night's opener, LeBron James says he wasn't at his best and he expects to play better tonight. A loss tonight would also leave Boston with a daunting proposition of having to win 4 out of 5 games to take the series, starting with Game 3 and 4 in Cleveland. Kentucky basketball coach John Calipari is pleased with the Wildcats recruiting haul and garnering the signatures yesterday of shooting guard Jamaral Barker of Los Angeles, 6'9 wing Kevin Knox of Tampa, Florida, and 6'9 Texas forward Jared Vanderbilt. Cal's Cats have 6 five-star recruits in the fold for 2017.
They understand. They came here because they want to be the best version of themselves. You think about it. None of these players are like one or the other. They're all different. Just be the best version of themselves. Come here, get better. Let's do this.
And finally, in sports, Kentucky Derby winner Always Dreaming is taking heavy action in early wagering for this weekend's Preakness. The 4-5 favorite on the morning line, Always Dreaming, will open at 1-5. When advanced betting began this afternoon, Arkansas Derby winner Classic Empire was seeded at 5-1. Odds will fluctuate up to the start of the race, scheduled for 6:48 p.m. on Saturday. That's it for sports. I'm Sean Delaney.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. The annual celebration of MSU Athletics golf outing is on Saturday, June 3rd at Eagle Trace Golf Course. 18 holes of golf, door prizes, continental breakfast, lunch, and refreshments, sponsorships, reservations, and more information from the MSU Office of Alumni Relations and Development at 877-690-4483.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed higher as concerns about Donald Trump's presidency receded for the time being, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 141.82 at 20,804.84. The S&P 500 was up 16.01 at 2381.73, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 28.57 at 6,083.7. New York Stock Exchange breadth was over 3-1 in favor of winning stocks over losers. In the commodities markets today, oil was a big star as crude oil moved up 2%, finishing at $50.41 a barrel. Gold was up 0.2%, finishing at $12.55 an ounce. And in terms of individual stock news today, Deer was in focus as Deer reported better than expected quarterly results, and the stock was a big winner today, finishing up over 7%. In overseas markets, Europe was strong today with the Financial Times index in Britain up 0.5%, while Germany's DAX index was up 0.4%. In Asia, markets were mostly up as the Nikkei was up 0.2% and the Hang Seng was up 0.8%. Among Dow Industrial stocks, your best performers today were Caterpillar and General Electric. Your worst performers were Cisco and Merck. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Autodesk and McKesson, and the worst performers were Foot Locker and Gap. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 88 cents at 65, CSX up 15 cents at 50.38, AEP up 42 cents at 68.73, Marathon Petroleum up 83 cents at 52.77, AK Steel up 10 cents at 5.55, and Kroger was up 14 cents to finish at 29.23. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Turning once again to a look at the weather forecast, tonight, scattered thunderstorms, a 50% chance of rain, lows around 66 degrees. Tomorrow, we'll see another 50% chance of rain, highs around 87. Tomorrow night, a 50% chance of rain, lows around 68. And on Sunday, thunderstorms, an 80% chance of rain, with highs around 76 degrees. It is currently 79 here in Moorhead. And that'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Paul Hitchcock, Sean Delaney, Jacob Lindberg, Chaz Jenkins, and Kyle Blankenbuehler. From WUKY, Josh James. From the West Virginia News Service, Chris Thomas. From the Kentucky News Network, Will Clark. And with our feature segment, MSU professor John Modath. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For all of the MSPR News team, I'm Arlo Barnett, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.